Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Bog right here on Dave Martell YouTube channel. Tonight we have the spiciest topic that we could imagine. But before we get into that, I want to make sure we do our plugs here. If you like The Bog, you support The Bog, make sure you go to patreon.com/The Bog and sign up. There's a tier for everybody, $5, all the way up to $50. Get a sticker, get a mug, but most importantly, you get the RSS feed to get audio of every single show that we do so you can listen to on your commutes, in your car, at the gym, or at work. That's patreon.com/thebog. If you want to support us another way, make sure to shop.spreadshirt.com/bogshop and get yourself some sweet bog merch, guys. Awesome stuff over there. Dresses for the ladies, onesies for the babies. We got hoodies, we got hats, we got all kinds of stuff. So go check that out, shop.spreadshirt.com/bogshop. If you want to check out a friend of ours, facebook.com/ironagejodish. Authentic, ancient, Vedic, astrology, our buddy Neil John. It's the stuff's incredible. So make sure you go check that out. If you decide to get a reading from him, tell him Big Dave sent you. That's facebook.com/ironagejodish. Guys, the Bizarre Archives has been knocking it out of the park. Thank you so much to everybody for buying copies. But we got a new book coming out very, very soon. So before that comes out, make sure you get caught up with all three of the Bizarre Archives books that are available. That is Bizarre Archives 1, Bizarre Archives 2, and then a cosmic horror double feature by A. Cuthbertson. Go to thebizarrearchives.com and get yourself a copy. And if you loved it, please, please make sure you go leave a review over there on Amazon or Books A Million or wherever you bought your copy. Those reviews are huge for us. They help us climb the algorithms and help us get shown to new readers. So it's a few seconds for you. It's a huge deal for us. So please make sure you go leave a review. Tonight, we're going to be talking about something. We usually don't get into the news cycles, or we don't really get into kind of what is the latest outrage and stuff like that. But ha ha, baby, you know this is a big one, baby. You know this is a big one, brother. Damn Lord of the Rings, you feel me? Ha ha, damn, baby. Shit. So we got a whole crew with us this evening to chat about it. We got Tristan, we got Andre, and back to the program for you guys that are the OG Bog Lords. And remember, my very first co-host, Mr. Angriff, is here with us. What is up, fellas?
Well, I'm doing very good myself, Dave, but I gotta say, I am quite outraged and unenthused about today's topic, so I'll give it to someone else now.
Angriff, what do you think about the new Lord of the Rings, bub?
Well, I don't know. I wish I could say that I'm surprised, and obviously I hate it like everyone else does, but it seems like they're dragging everything to this level, so I cannot say I'm surprised, although disappointed for sure.
Yeah. And Mr. Andre?
My expectations were low, but holy shit.
So, for folks that might not be aware, just in case you have the fortunate life and reality of living in a cave and aren't subjugated to the horrors of the internet, there is a new Amazon series coming out. It's called The Rings of Power. The Rings of Power, baby, you feel me? And it's by it's by Amazon, and it's supposed to be like a different age. It's the prequel to the Lord of the Rings movies, and it is extremely diverse. There's the show's not even out yet, but they've released the casting. They've shown a lot of the stuff that's going to be involved with it, and already there is just a horrible outrage because of it, and rightly so. It's completely. So which one of you guys wants to take it and kind of explain the premise of the show?
You know what? I think I'll just give everyone a good lowdown about what's going on here. So, to fill everyone in, the Rings of Power is set during the Second Age of Middle-earth, which is the age preceding the one that we're most familiar with in Lord of the Rings, which is the Third Age. During the Second Age is when the elves were the major power in the world, and so was the rise of the Numenorean kingdoms before they disintegrated into the feuding states afterwards. This is the same people that Aragorn's ancestors come from, like Isildur, that sort, right? These were the Numenoreans who ruled Gondor and everything else, the island of Numenor, before it sank. And this is the set. This is when it's set there. One of the major outrages, well, and we'll go through some of them, are first and foremost, there are black hobbits, apparently.
Yes, Lobbits, you feel me?
Even though that never shows up in Lord of the Rings, and we see the Shire quite frequently, and there's never anyone else there, there does appear to be black hobbits in the Second Age. What happened to them has become the subject of a meme. Apparently, Amazon...
Go ahead, I was just... Go ahead.
Yeah. Apparently, Amazon thinks that sometime between the Second Age and the Third Age, there must have been a giant form of ethnic cleansing in the Shire.
Yep.
Nice of them to add that detail.
I love hobbits now.
Right. One of the other issues is that we now have Queen Dwarf. She's a ruler of one of the unspecified dwarven kingdoms and is a big fat black woman.
She gonna twerk though.
And this is how you know that I'm outraged in my full nerd fury, is that not only is she a big fat black woman, but I'm especially outraged that she doesn't even have a beard. This is supposed to be canon. All dwarven women have beards. It's specified.
Yeah. And also with the dwarves have a patrilineal. So So this is what's going on here. If you go on Twitter, there's a bunch of, you know, woke cultist weirdos that are on there celebrating this. And I have a sinking suspicion that a lot of them are paid. Like, I don't think that they're organic. It's not, it's kind of strange, kind of a strange coincidence where you have these semi-official Lord of the Rings fandom Twitter accounts with hundreds of thousands of followers that are all in unison applauding this and using the same arguments. And one of the arguments that they're using, and this is falls right into our territory, is they say that first of all, the dwarves are not multiracial. They are the race. Dwarf in Tolkien world, in Middle Earth, that is the race. Dwarves are the race.
No, I have to cut you off for a second, Dave, just to express my complete outrage here. The dwarves live underground. How do they even develop melanin?
Yeah. It's completely, it's like, none of their arguments are, they have no legitimate arguments for this. But Anger's trying to get in. So one of the arguments that they're trying to push forward is that it's feasible for there to be dark-skinned dwarves, effectively black African dwarves, not, you know, among a homogenous ethnic group race that are the dwarves, because they claim that Tolkien pulled the inspiration of the dwarves from the Dalkulfar in the Gilfaganing, because those elves pulls that inspiration from the dark elves, supposedly, which he doesn't. He pulls it from Voluspa, which, you know, Tolkien literally lifts the names directly. Anger, if you're trying to get in here.
No, I was just going to say exactly the same type of thing. This is everything that comes from this mythology is basically him trying to build a mythos for white British people that, you know, he originally was jealous that the Finnish people, when he was doing research on them, that they had the Kalevala, right?
Yeah.
So all of this, it comes from a mix of, he draws from a lot of the Norse mythos, as you said. He really takes names for dwarves straight out of the list of dwarves in Voluspa. The idea that this should have any connection to black people, and I was going to say the first thing came to mind was Tristan saying they're underground. Yeah, they're going to have a serious vitamin D deficiency, right?
Yeah.
But now, I would have to add here that I personally would take the position that the Dalkulfar and the Duergar are, in fact, identical beings. Like, I do think that's actually accurate. But where they are misunderstanding this is that the Dalkulfar and the dwarves aren't black in the sense of being like African American. They have a dark skin tone. They literally resemble corpses. Like, Thor it's makes this motion to Alvis in his Alvis Maul.
Yeah, they're not, and also they're excuse me, they're supernatural beings. These aren't humans. To say, to like apply like racial biological attributes to the dwarves in the Edda would be like asking a poltergeist what size pants they wear. It's like it doesn't even exist. It's a supernatural being. The dark is like Dalkulfar, dark elf, is referring to kind of their shadowy, or it has a whole other connotation. It has nothing to do with like what they look like.
It would be somewhat similar to asking Smaug what his race is.
Yeah. So, Andre, what's up? How are you feeling about all this?
Well, one thing that I want to actually preface a little bit by just explaining why this is so utterly ridiculous. Because if this was a small television series or a B-movie or whatever, nobody would care. But just for funsies, just for a fun fact, this is the most expensive TV series that has ever going to be made, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking $1 billion here. A billion.
Mm-hmm.
With a B. That's a lot of money to throw into a project like this. And allegedly, this is a pet project of Jeff Bezos himself, who is enormously passionate, self-professed, in Lord of the Rings. And I think we can all agree that this... I think we can all agree that that's absolutely fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
And this is... It's kind of a serious issue when this is actually damaging a specific aesthetic, a specific look, a specific mythology by the sheer scale and presence that this has. That this is going to leave a stain. This is, no matter what's going to happen, this is going to result in something bad down the line, no matter what.
You know what? I saw a Facebook post that resonated quite recently with me earlier today, and it was that The Lord of the Rings is, for all intents and purposes, a cultural treasure that we possess.
Yeah.
And it should legitimately be illegal to desecrate a cultural treasure like this.
Yeah. And going back to, but speaking on that, it's like, with these people, it's not about creating art, right? It's about destroying what exists, because these people, like Tolkien says, they can't create, they can only destroy, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're just perverting, they're just destroying. They can't create it on their own. So they hate Lord of the Rings because they can't create a Lord of the Rings. They can't create something of the same caliber. They don't have the talent, they don't have the intelligence, they don't have the spiritual stuff to do it. They don't have the inspiration. So what do? They take the thing that they envy and they try to destroy it. Now going over to Bezos, now I will say this. This is something that this might be an unpopular position, but one of the writers on the team that is doing the Rings of Power, she also did Breaking Bad. Like, she wrote a lot of the stuff for Breaking Bad. She did a lot of the stuff for Better Call Saul, which a lot of people would say those are good shows, right? So
I like them.
Yeah, I liked Breaking. I actually very very much liked Breaking Bad. Apparently, she had no idea about the casting. Apparently, the casting was given to this company that, you know, went ahead and just kind of did their own thing. And the writers had no idea about it until it was, like, you know, too late. And I think what very possibly... So here's kind of what people... I think people apply too much agency to these kind of, like, leftoid freaks, right? They think that they are these calculating, conniving, slithery, master plan, scheming... And I think sometimes they are... But I also understand that these people aren't that smart. These aren't very smart people. These are midwits. You know what I mean? These aren't like genius level people. So what is very likely happening is these people are so entrenched in their hug boxes, in their alternative reality, that they probably didn't even know, foresee, predict that the regular people would have this reaction to it. They literally thought that this was going to be a hit and a masterpiece and everybody was going to love it. And that I just cannot foresee Jeff Bezos or Amazon. Amazon will, like, if you call and harass Amazon about a missing book in the mail, they'll apologize up and down and replace it so they don't lose your customers. So you lose you as a customer. I can't believe that they would just like huck $1 billion onto the fire on purpose.
I have spent the last couple months telling people that I think the Lord of the Rings show is probably going to be okay because they put $1 billion into it. Just from the power of capitalism alone, you would think they would be invested in making sure it succeeds. Because even Jeff Bezos, even Amazon, can't just torch $1 billion without thinking about it, right?
Yeah.
So I do have to agree that there must be something going on here where they thought this was going to be a hit, and they didn't understand what's going on. Though I do have to add one of the other incidences for why people are so angry is that one of the elves is black, apparently, and he's in an interracial relationship with a Gondorian single mother.
Oh my god. I heard something about a bisexual, too.
I haven't heard anything about a bisexual, but god, I hope not.
The worst part is you can go through the entire trailer, or not, I guess not trailer yet, but the pictures and later the movies, and just tick a bunch of boxes, just the inclusivity bingo.
Well, that makes me wonder, like, this company you said that the writers didn't even know about it. So what is this, some kind of company that they just contract out to do, like, the most diverse casting as possible? Is that what this company is?
It
seems like it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. They're probably, you know, it's probably just a bunch of the usual suspects, a bunch of soy boys and hand-wringing Holly weirdos, and, you know, a bunch of cat ladies with plastic frame glasses and Prozac dependencies. And they handed it over to them, and they're like, now's our time to force in what we want. And by the time that, you know, the rest of the crew saw what's going on, probably what happened is they saw what's going on. They're like, well, we got too much money on this now. And if we say anything, we're evil racists. We're going to lose the entirety of our livelihood. We can't even go against this. So they were just like stuck on this sinking ship. They have to go down with it. That's just my speculation. They could just be evil, conniving, monstrous, scheming, you know, villains sitting in black spires, like, you know, coming up with this whole master plan to destroy Lord of the Rings. That's, I mean, I'm not saying that's not possible. That could be absolutely possible. But I'm not
sure they would blow $1 billion to try to do that. But maybe.
I don't know.
You know what? I even think that might. Your position there, Dave, might even be a little too extreme about what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. Like, I would imagine part of what's going on here is they contracted it out to this casting company, and they're probably based in Los Angeles and are staffed with a bunch of urban Los Angeles liberals, just the people who normally live in Los Angeles, right? Yeah. And they didn't even stop to think about it. They just casted random people based on, you know, non-bigotry ideas, and it just ended up with, like, a bunch of mixed race people, because that's the kind of people they would cast if you weren't specifically going for an all white cast.
Honestly, most of this just reeks of bad communication between all factors. Like, the script writers were not in talks with the guys doing the audition, apart from the most basic stuff, and those were not in contact with the mainline Amazon, who basically just gave them the money and told them to do stuff with it. So this is just a bunch of, I would think it's just a bunch of terrible, terrible decisions that just culminated in someone taking an opportunity to insert as much diversity, forced diversity, as humanly possible for some sort of agenda. I don't think the entire project is a massive agenda, but there's definitely an aspect of it in there.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, Andre, that, and I'm not super familiar with the logistics and, like, hiring choices of a Hollywood production here, but I would imagine it's very, very unusual for the writing crew to have absolutely no connection or discussion about the casting choices. Like, how do you even write and create characters if you don't understand who might be playing them or have any sort of connection to that?
Well, it seems like that's a modern thing that they're changing so much, and they're trying to take away the idea that anything has to, that the character can be anything but just completely interchangeable, right? You know, just pick up and drop in a fat lesbian black woman and she's a dwarf queen now, right? Like, nothing has to be connected to roots. Characters don't have to match what you would physically expect when you're reading a book and what you're picturing, right? It's obviously, we see them do the same thing with historical productions too, but
yeah,
the fact that even in fiction like this, where it's obviously the writer of the book, but even when you go to convert it to a show, you would think, yeah, the writer must have someone in mind for this. And the fact that they're not even communicating at this point, because they've made it such an inherent assumption that, oh, anyone can play this.
Yeah.
So I have an addition. Go ahead, Andre.
Oh, sorry. I have an addition, because I don't know if you guys remember, a few years ago, there was a very big, very heavily medieval inspired game that prized itself on historical realism and so forth, that was made and set in 12th century Bohemia, and it was made by a
Kingdom Come,
yes.
Yeah.
And the developers were Czech, and they got under scrutiny and then under massive amounts of fire, and they tried to cancel them because there was no black people present in the game, and they tried defending themselves.
A side note, everyone should go play the Kingdom Come game, if only for the purpose that the lead designer and creator of that game is actually a heathen. He's been shown wearing a Mjolnir helmet and talked about the faith publicly.
That's seriously excellent. Kingdom Come, heavily recommended.
And it's a great game, too. Really great game.
Oh, yeah. It's actually great.
Yeah. It's why
But it was...
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to finish this up by saying that this is a very dangerous game to play in the modern world, especially if you're from the West. They could get away with it because they were from Czechia, but they were actively under attack by a lot of people because they didn't have black people in the game. And they felt like that was somehow unfair. And they said, but there were no black people in Bohemia in the 12th century. What are you on about? And that's when they start doing this mental twisting. They start playing mind games and word games where, oh, you don't think they're people enough or whatever. So if you follow common decency and general social rules, you are not allowed to say, no, you can't have black people in medieval fantasy. That's a bit weird because there's no black people. You're not even allowed to take a moderate stance on this anymore, because anything goes. Any human is equal. If there's a man, replace it with a woman. If it's white, replace it with a black person. If it's black, replace it with an Asian. It doesn't matter. Like, it's a no holds barred game.
Yeah, and I know this is kind of like a centrist position or whatever. I watch not a lot, but I like the occasional Chinese movie. I like the. The Chinese do a very good job with these like big epic historical movies that are like 3-4 hours long, but they're like really tremendous movies. If I watched one of those movies and I saw like a German guy running around, or like a fucking like any type of guy that wasn't Chinese, it would completely break immersion for me, and I would hate it. Right? It's not even like they try to paint this as like, we just hate other cultures, and we just hate, you know, how many of us like love movies about the Mongols and like all this kind of stuff. We don't like hate them. We just, this incessant drive to pervert and destroy specifically European historical and cultural things is unacceptable. And I'll tell you what, there's people out there that are saying things like, well, just don't give it any attention. Just don't. You're just playing into them and blah, 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 blah. No, I, you know, if that's your position, that's fine. I mean, I'm a grown man. You're a grown man. You can have whatever position you want. But I strongly disagree with that. I think we should spurg about this, and we should have make a big fit, and we should mock it and make fun of it forever until they kill themselves. That is my position. You should never be quiet about something that is an attack on you.
Well, I think that Lord of the Rings actually is probably one of the biggest, obviously people specifically in our spheres that are heathens and stuff are into our own white mythology and everything,
yeah.
But the average person on the street, Lord of the Rings is probably a more meaningful mythology to them than anything of the Germanic or the Greek or anything deeply Indo-European directly. Obviously, it's inspired by that on its own level as well, but...
Yeah, one of the main things we have going for here is that the fan base around Tolkien, even outside of our, you know, social circles, is very passionate about exactly what he wrote and is very intolerant of them changing things just to change things. They very much want Tolkien's exact purpose, what he wrote. These are the kinds of people who will obsessively read his private letters to get, you know, the better idea of what he had intended to write. They're pretty much going to hate this as much as we do, and that's going to be very good for us, because the mainline Tolkien fans, the super fans, are also going to be on our side.
Yeah.
I do believe this is also connected to the... I do believe it's Christopher Tolkien, who was the holder of the copyright for a good many years, and I do believe he died, and after he died, it became more of a commercial license rather than a personal property of the Tolkien estates. So he was extremely skeptical about making any alterations to whatever J.R.R. Tolkien actually wrote to maintain the integrity of it all.
I'm pretty sure that he said some pretty negative things about the Hobbit movies even, and those were nothing compared to changes compared to what you're looking at with this bullshit.
Christopher Tolkien was a traditionalist in a sense that is almost comical, in that he himself even hated the Peter Jackson films because they took, to quote him, they turned my father's masterful epic into a action movie for 25-year-olds.
Yeah, I don't agree, but I,
I don't agree, but I get it. I get it.
But I mean, that's the kind of traditionalist position that Christopher Tolkien was having. He was an aristocrat who lived on a country estate in France and then turned up his nose at the entirety of modern life and what they would ever do. So, of course, in order to make this, they had to wait until the second he died, and then they decided to buy the rights and make this. Because he would never have allowed this to occur.
You know, it's a big problem with these estates. You know, doing Bizarre Archives, I do a lot of look into, like, reprints. Like, I'm very interested in digging up gems from older eras and reprinting them. In fact, we're going to reprint one up very soon. It's going to be revealed very soon. But there's a lot of these estates. Like, for example, the Robert E. Howard estate is owned by people that have no relation at all to Robert E. Howard. Like, some rich scumbag bought it up years ago. He croaked, gave it to his fat lesbian daughters, and now they talk about how Conan was a proto-feminist and, like, all this kind of stuff. And this is a problem across the board, is the copyright laws, a lot of these estates, these IPs, end up kind of just being, like, trophies for these, like, you know, these affluent parasites that buy it and then they just do goofy stuff with it, or they cling on to it like bulls and don't let anybody make anything. And it's a mess what has gone on. There should really, really be a law that until something hits the public domain, that it belongs to somebody that is related to the original creator. That would solve a lot of these problems. And you know what? I'm going to say this. I don't know if Christopher Tolkien has any children or not, but if he doesn't, that it was a big screw up on his part. He should have had children, and he should have seen that his father's...
He does have family.
So why didn't...
He has three.
Why didn't the estate, the ownership of the Tolkien estate, go to his children?
It did. All of Tolkien's children had lots of children of themselves. The Tolkien family is actually very large at this point. And a couple generations down the line, the people that are now our age and are Tolkien's are... they grew up to be rich, entitled douchebags, basically. And they don't care about what their grandfather or great-grandfather wrote.
A massive issue here, too, is the absolute legal hellhole that is copyright law, and we can thank Disney for that. And we are looking at the next iteration of this law, where we might actually see the copyright law being extended even further once Disney's popular properties, like Mickey Mouse and whatever, enters public domain in a few years.
Yeah.
In which case, they will lobby the hell out of it. to extend it, most likely over 100, most likely 150 years.
That wouldn't be shocking at all. Yeah, especially since all of those, that their first few animated films from Disney, all of that's going to come with billions of dollars of lobbying behind it to prevent it from going to public domain.
Don't even have to debate about it. It's already happened once. It was derisively referred to as the Mickey Mouse Protection Act.
I think it actually has to happen twice now.
I knew about one, so they upped it twice.
There was a smaller iteration that was made later, I believe, that extended it even further, but it went more or less unknown to the public eye. I might be wrong about this because I recall watching a pretty informative video about it, but I might be wrong, but I do believe it had happened twice.
So, you know, kind of getting back onto Lord of the Rings and this, the Rings of Power. Tristan, what do you think that these people get out of it? You know, I mean, people clearly hate this. If you go on to Twitter, you go on to any of the social media, and you see them promoting it, it's like, it's a disaster. Like, people hate this. You could go scroll through and look at thousands of comments, and it's like maybe one out of every thousand is something positive. Everybody else hates it. So what could they possibly... Let's say that this was their plan. To create this monstrosity and to pervert and destroy and subvert this beautiful masterpiece of Lord of the Rings. What do you think that they get out of this? What is the end goal?
I think there's a real level where these people have imbibed their own Kool-Aid to the level that they don't understand that the normal person is offended by this. They think it's just, evil, absolute, actual, fascist, racist. You know, this very small, loud contingent. And I also wonder how much the censoring of online media that's taken away any voices towards our direction has skewed their ability to think. They think that they're just winning, right? And that this has just been completely normalized because they've just shut us all up.
I think if we assume that this is in fact intentional, like malicious, then we have to assume that basically what's going on here is they're just being incredibly spiteful. They hate the fact that there is a very famous, well-loved property that their enemies get to hold up as theirs, that they get to like and gain enjoyment from. And their entire purpose in doing so is basically just to spite you, to ruin something that you found enjoyable and deeply personal to yourself, so that now whenever you think about it, it has to be muddled with them.
Yeah.
Well, and you wonder that sometimes if we are going to assume the worst, and whatever faction of them does have that actual spiteful, destructive tendency and goal in mind, that how many of them think, oh, yes, well, we're just going to ruin this for them, that they won't even like to read the books anymore or watch the original movies? Because that does happen with some things. Like, there are absolutely things that have been ruined that way for me. I mean, probably I can't see that happening with something as beloved as Lord of the Rings, but...
I mean, that's the thing there. Is if that was their goal, they've completely messed up there, because it doesn't matter what they do. We will always have the Lord of the Rings books and the Peter Jackson original films. They can't ever take this away from us.
I think that's actually going to cause a resurgence in popularity with the Peter Jackson movies. That's going to introduce them to a newer generation now.
Yeah. And those movies, let me tell you, those movies aged very, very well. I recently went back and I think they did a remaster, but... I recently went back and rewatched the first original Fellowship of the Ring movie, and it's got the kind of like green screen fire in the back at places and stuff, but just the amount of practical effects and stuff that they used, and the kind of camera magic that they used to make proportions different, and it is a beautiful, beautiful film. It is a masterpiece film, and it's something that is going to, it's just one of those movies that's going to look good forever. You know what I mean? Like The Godfather. In 150 years, people are going to watch The Godfather and be like, that was a tremendous movie. Doesn't matter. It's just like, it's ageless. And I think that the Lord of the Rings movies are just, they have that same timeless quality because of just the genius of Peter Jackson with those movies, in my opinion.
I would have to agree with you myself. I think they're some of the finest, if not just outright, the finest movies ever produced.
Yeah.
And it really, it's almost a miracle that we even got them.
They definitely seem to come in that right era, right, when we were able to get stuff. I mean, if they had come out 5 years after that, we probably would have seen destructive tendencies even in the casting in those, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a little bit in the Hobbit movies. Like, I think they snuck in an elf that was a little bit, looked a little bit foreign.
I think the only racial casting in the Hobbit movies was some of the extras in Dale in the River Town. Some of them are colored, so to speak, and they even do try to explain it there as being like it's a trading town, so they're from like, you know, they're foreigners. And to be clear, there are dark skinned people in Middle Earth. Like, they do come from somewhere.
Yeah, what are they called? The it's been so long since I read it.
People of Far Harad are black. Yeah, people of Harad are more like Arabic Middle Eastern types, but people of Far Harad are Black African types. Though there is some discrepancy there, they might actually just be half trolls. Like, it's not entirely clear. and also the Easterlings are like, yeah, I know. Because
we need some genetic assays out there in Middle Earth to figure out where the troll blood is.
Right, and also the Easterlings in Rune are also like Mongolian types, right?
I do think in the original Peter Jackson movies that the soldiers of Rune were portrayed more as like, is it more civilized Middle Easterns, while the Haradrim were portrayed as like more savage, tribal, Bedouin types. And that was pretty much it for that movie. Those movies.
Yeah, so,
but even is at least something realistic in terms of world building and being true to anything that makes sense versus this Burger King Kids Club type of random mixes, even among dwarves that come from probably small underground communities. How would you even, it doesn't even make any sense, even if you were to try and imagine a universe like that. What, these people just pop out with random different skin color, like how a black cat can have an orange kitten? Like, is that how they think people work? Or dwarves?
For dwarves, it's just coal dust.
You're talking about the Lord of the Rings world building here, and to fully establish my nerd bona fides, let me just rant about it. The people of Rune, the Easterlings, are... we don't know a whole lot about them. Tolkien never really like talked a lot about them, but we do know that they have a classical high civilization. Like, they are properly another people, right? But the people of Harad, and especially Far Harad... they are basically just savage. They have a lower technological level. They're stupid. They're not very sophisticated. And they are, in fact, were dominated and ruled over by black Numenoreans, which are not, to be clear, are not literally black as in African Numenoreans. They're evil Numenoreans who fell to the sway of Morgoth and Sauron.
Mm.
And in doing that, they basically... conquered parts of Harad and then established themselves as overlords there and brought civilization and like order to the Haradian people there. And they just, even in the third age of Middle Earth, they continue to dominate and rule over these people.
So,
the messed up thing is, if they wanted an actual, and they wanted to do something with some people like that cast in, they could have some scenes over in that part during the Second Age, right? And show some of that actual story with rooted in making sense. If they were that committed to showing some other people in Middle Earth,
fucking sense. That's the thing. They can't do that because Tolkien's work is so Eurocentric and just quite frankly based that if you did go accurately based on his lore, you would have to show a bunch of these like minority people as being the enemies of Western, like Western peoples. They're stupid and unenlightened, and they're not sophisticated, and they're literally just aligned with evil. Like, you would have to make them the outright antagonist enemies, and they can't do that.
Mm. Now, another, speaking of aesthetics, a lot of people, obviously the show's not out. And I'm not gonna watch it. I'm just gonna make fun of it from the outside and rage about it. But a lot of these images are coming out, and another criticism that's coming from you know, enjoyers of Tolkien's work is the quality of the costumes. A lot of the costumes look pretty ridiculous and pretty cheap, and look like the one thing that keeps getting thrown around is it looks like cosplay. Have you guys seen any of the costumes?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of the costumes for the men look more or less okay, what you would expect from, like, a generic Tolkienian medieval fantasy. But I do have to say, the costume they have the black elf in is utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, even aside from the issues of his race, it just looks bad and dumb.
It reminded me of a costume from the Kevin Sorbo Hercules series.
It does almost remind you of something like that. Yeah, it's something that almost looked like it's ironically, like, tongue-in-cheek cheesy.
Yeah, except I'm not gonna lie to you. When the Hercules Legendary Adventures was on, I liked it. It was a cool show back then.
That oh, and Xena both are actually Xena, very good stories. But I mean, it's peak 90s television. Yeah. Like, it did not age very well at all.
No, terrible.
And no one expected it to be high art either. It wasn't really operating from some position of debasing something that's high. It's actually relatively high modern culture, right?
And all the criticism that I've seen actually leveled against the costumes, and especially things like the weapons and the armor portrayed in the pictures, at least. They say that it not only does it look very cosplayish, it looks very cheap. Like, some of the pieces are obviously made of, like, different types of plastic and, like, cosplay cloth and such. While, if you compare this, and a lot of people will compare it to the original trilogy of Peter Jackson here, that the original trilogy had literal blacksmiths design and make a lot of the weapons and armor to be as fantastical yet rooted in reality as humanly possible. This is why, like, you have, like, this what's that term? I entirely recall what the term is, but it's basically when you know it's fantasy, but it's realistic enough that you can just imagine that it's real.
Verisimilitude might be the word you're looking for.
Maybe, I'm not sure. But either way, it was
about, like, the Uncanny Valley?
I guess, in a sense, like, it's, well, never mind the word. It's just being able to portray something that looks fantastical, that doesn't exist in reality, but you can absolutely believe that this would exist in the world. I did not get any feeling of that from any of the costumes or designs in the pictures. It was way too fantastical, way too cosplayish, and way too high fantasy for it to make coherent sense with what we already imagine and think and have somewhat seen from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think part of the issue here is that they made a lot of their casting choices based on The Hobbit, because, of course, most of the people involved in this probably aren't fans of Lord of the Rings, right? The only real thing they've ever really seen was the Hobbit films, because they're fairly recent. Except the Hobbit is very famously kind of perpendicular to the Lord of the Rings canon. Like, the setting doesn't match up 100% because the Hobbit was made as a children's story originally, whereas the Lord of the Rings is a fully developed medieval fantasy world. Mm-hmm. And so you end up with, like, a lot of, like, goofy, cheesy things. Like, the elves are kind of like English fairies, kind of. And they went with that during the Hobbit films, and I've seen some of the casting photos here and the uniforms they have them in, and it seems like they very much went with the elves are basically giant European pixies, and it doesn't fit well for a Lord of the Rings aesthetic.
No. So we're actually starting to run out of time here, and this last question, this last thing that I want to talk to you guys about, this is a real head exploder for guys like us that are grognards and enthusiasts and enjoyers and fiction chads. One of the arguments that comes from the so-called supporters of this horrendous, politically correct abomination that is, the Rings of Power, sir, baby, sir, baby, yo. When the argument that these people use is, well, it's fantasy. You know, it's just fantasy. Why do you have a problem that in a world where there's dragons and magic that there's, you know, that there's black people in it? Why is that a problem? Oh my God! And that's their argument, that because it is a fantasy setting where there is magic and dragons and trolls and monsters and so on and so forth, that that just opens the door to do whatever you want and to desire a coherent setting is ridiculous. Tristan, what do you think about that?
You know, I have a very well-developed response to this.
Okay,
one, Dave, because I've encountered it myself, and it goes that, yes, theoretically, the idea that something could be fantasy, it, as a genre, you could do whatever you want, and it's more or less fantasy. Except, we're not talking about something that's just fantasy. We're talking about Lord of the Rings, and what Tolkien decided about Lord of the Rings was that it was going to be a mythopoetic fantasy that harkened back to the soul of the English people and their ancestors. And because of that, the entirety of the mythos is centered around Northern Europeans. All of their history, their mythology, and all the things that are meaningful to the spirituality of Northern European peoples.
Yeah.
So if we do that, then it's not a matter about whether it's fantasy. It's a matter about whether it's Lord of the Rings. But we can also flip the question around and say that if it is fantasy and you could do whatever you want here and it's just a story, then why is it such a big deal if the fantasy of Lord of the Rings only has Northern Europeans in it and doesn't have black people and minorities and gay people? It's just a fantasy and it's just a story, right? Why is it such a big deal?
Well, I would argue, I would go a step further, and I would say that no, not everything is fantasy. Fantasy is that's just the word that identifies the genre. The genre has rules. The genre has structure. The genre has criteria. It has things that go in. It must make sense. It must be coherent. There are epistemological warrants for why things exist within the fantasy genres. It's not a free for all. And that this is a problem that's going on in many other, you know, it's like everybody knows that modern fantasy stories suck. Modern fantasy blows. Why? Because it doesn't reflect reality. It's not, and I'm gonna talk about. Go ahead.
It doesn't reflect any real human dynamics or any realistic type characters of what would be in that kind of scenario, right? Whether there's magic or dragons, you still want to have a character that's believable of the same type of mentality of a medieval knight or something in character, mm-hmm. not a guy who's a modern soy boy that happens to be wearing armor and a sword, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I think there's a difference here between soft world building and hard world building. Soft world building is something like Harry Potter, where the staircases in Hogwarts move around not for any real logical reason, but because it's like a fantastical magical castle and moving staircases are like fantastical and, oh, there's lots of magic, right? It's for
but
children.
Even Harry Potter very closely tied into like the... what do they call it? The grammar school system or whatever in England, the private schooling system. It's like very much, very deeply English and reflecting that structure.
Yeah, but the point
even
I
though
was
she
making
didn't
here,
want to.
I mean, the point I was making here is that the fantastical elements of Harry Potter are part of the tradition of soft world building and that ultimately they don't really make sense. It's just a big holding bag for like random fantastical magical stuff for children. Whereas Tolkien did hard world building, which isn't that. It's that the Rohirrim descend from the Eir Lingus, who descend from the great king Errol the Young, who ruled in this land of the Eothiod 3,000 years ago, and that's why they're great cavalry, and they're related to the Numenoreans and the Gondorians, because they are all a part of the Ithane peoples. Like, this is hard world building. Everything in the setting makes sense in a logical, consistent manner, because it's based much heavier on realism. He's not just holding a magical, fantastical world. He's making another world himself that makes sense. It's not a world that just where anything goes. It's a different world than our world, but it's still consistently another creation.
Hmm. And Andre, what do you think about that? People that say, "Oh, well, it's fantasy. You can just make everybody a bunch of queers, and you know, it could be Seattle with elves." What do you think about that?
Honestly, this is something I see a lot in a lot of different fictional universes, yeah. Even some that I'm involved in myself. And the key word here is internal consistency. Having any sort of fantasy world, as you say, it's not a free-for-all. You can't just have, oh, it's just fantasy, so you can do fantastical stuff. Because suddenly that doesn't make any sort of sense unless you especially build around certain rules in the world that you set. Because let's use a thought experiment here in that case. Like, okay, so since Lord of the Rings is fantasy, why didn't Gandalf just use his powerful wizard powers to just, you know, tear Sauron a new one? He's a wizard. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
He can blow down the Black Gates. He can do whatever he wants. Use the eagles and just drop the ring in the volcano. Like, all of this is more or less explained why this can't happen. You need rules. You need to explain stuff, and you need to set rules for what's allowed, what can happen, what cannot happen, and what is not allowed. Like, this is a very short form way of basically saying that yes, it's fantasy, it's fantastical. You might have dragons, but it's not fun in a universe where you have dragons that are not explained for why dragons do as they do or act as they act. Because suddenly you start having to deal with questions like, okay, so dragons exist, so why haven't they taken over the world? Why haven't they burned down everything? Like, this is why certain archetypes for different creatures exist. Like how Tolkien established orcs are incapable of creation. This is a rule. Like, yeah. They can't really create anything. They can just destroy and corrupt things that already exist. And this is, you know, how it becomes a quagmire of epic proportions when you start dealing, oh, it's fantasy, so you can just do whatever you want. Turn the men into women, turn whatever straight into queers. Like, yes, let's have a royal dynasty that's entirely consisted of gay people. Like, I'm sorry, internal consistency says that dynasty is going to collapse in one generation exactly. Like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
That's assuming magical fantasy AIDS doesn't strike first.
One can only hope. Yeah. Actually, I think that's like a ninth level spell. I don't know if Gandalf has it.
Right. And you know, to be clear, the introduction of homosexuality into Lord of the Rings is one of the most ridiculous things to me, because Tolkien was very firmly set in that he was a Roman Catholic. And the god of Catholicism exists within Middle Earth. He's Eru Iluvatar. This is literally the same person. So there is a objective moral standard in Middle Earth that homosexuality is morally wrong. So if these people who are homosexuals would then be bad people, objectively.
Yeah. One argument that I saw from OneRing.net Twitter handle is that Tolkien was actually a social justice advocate, and he worked closely with LGBT and feminist activists of the time. Literally said that.
No.
Do you think people would do that? Just go on the internet and lie?
I saw it. They said it.
This is probably based more or less on the fact that in a few of Tolkien's letters, he did kind of have a few harsh words to say about Nazi Germany. He was somewhat anti-slavery and generally, I guess, kind of anti-imperialistic, and that's about it.
Yeah. He also exchanged letters, and I think he did an interview with like a British nationalist organization too. So he was very firmly a British nationalist. You know what I mean?
You want to know what's objectively true about Tolkien's political beliefs is that during the Spanish Civil War, he supported the nationalist faction openly.
So that's that. Yeah, that's Francisco Franco, right?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. That that they were literally fascists. He openly supported
fascists. Was an open supporter of fascist Spain, yes.
Yeah.
So unless Franco was himself part of the LGBT crowd, then I'm not...
Yeah. Nailed it. That he must have been the one they're talking about. Yeah. Oh, shit. That's nuts. These people are just such nuts.
That's what happened, guys. They weren't actually just gay. They were just, like, Italian.
Hey!
Just Spanish.
Yeah.
Don't trust Spaniards.
Shit. Yeah.
What's that? The Italian meme of, no, Mom, Tony's not gay. He's just sensitive.
Oh. All right. We're going off the rails here.
He's creative.
Yeah, don't start Dave up on this now. Don't.
Very recently, this is going to make some listeners mad. Very recently, I told my wife, I thought this guy's like, I think that guy's a queer. And she goes, he's not queer. He's just from California.
Nice.
Oh. Yeah. That's she's like, you think everybody's queer? Because like, everybody is fucking queer nowadays. What do you want from me?
Where's the lie though, Dave? You think everybody's queer?
I do, because everybody is queer now. But we're not gonna go down all that. I'm sorry for my base Californian bog lords. I don't think you guys are gay. It's just, you know. I'll be honest, some of you guys, you know, the way you talk sounds a little funny. Sounds a little sideways over here in the East. It just does. You know, I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying that's how it gets interpreted. So, no offense to you guys now that I insulted all of you. Please don't unsub. But before this goes off the rails and we insult everybody, let's shut this down. In conclusion, Lord of the Rings... Angriff, are you going to watch it? The Rings of Power.
Absolutely not, bro.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Andre, you going to watch it, bub?
No, but I don't think I will.
I never even watched the second two Hobbit movies because I thought the first one was so shitty.
No, it wasn't that. It wasn't good. It wasn't good, but it wasn't like...
It was disappointing. I mean, compared to this, obviously, it doesn't look bad, but it was not... Compared to the first three, it was very disappointing.
You can't compare them. That's like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Are you saying my standards are too high, Dave?
Yeah. If your standard is the Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings trilogy, then your standards are like way too high. Because that's like the highest it goes. Tristan, are you going to watch it?
I plan to set the sail on the high seas, and I'm going to hate watch it. I'll keep you guys informed.
Oh, no. No. Oh, he's going in. Oh, man.
I'm going to get like a hazmat suit and then my pirate hat, and I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to watch it. I'm just going to rewatch the original trilogy again, over and over again, like I usually do.
Nah, I'm not gonna watch it. In fact, after all the outrage and everything calms down, I'm probably gonna forget about it because I have ADD. So that's probably gonna be where what happens with me. But anyway,
I'm not gonna let you forget about it. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your service, friend. But anyway, we gotta shut it down. We are past an hour. But thank you everybody for tuning in to this episode of The Bog Live. We haven't been doing live. We've been doing pre-records, but it's okay. You can check out all of our previous episodes. We have a Bog playlist over there on the Dave Martell YouTube channel. You can also check us out on Odyssey. We're over on Odyssey. If you like The Bog, you support The Bog, make sure you go to patreon.com/The Bog and sign up. There's a tier for everybody, $5 all the way up to $50. You get a sticker, you get a mug. Most importantly, you get the RSS feed to listen to every single show that we do in your car, on your commutes, at the gym, or at work. That is patreon.com/The Bog. If you want to help us keep the lights on another way, go to shop.spreadshirt.com/BogShop and get yourself some sweet Bog merch, all kinds of stuff over there. Go check it out. Facebook.com/IronAgeJodish, our buddy Neil John. Go check him out. Go give him a like. He does authentic, ancient, Vedic astrology. Very, very cool stuff. So go to facebook.com/IronAgeJodish. That is IronAgeJotish. And if you decide to get a reading, which you're going to love, tell them Big Dave sent you. Let them know I sent you over there. And then the Bizarre Archives. Guys, get a copy of the... There's no reason for you not to have a copy. You're going to love it. It's great. Compilations of short stories from aspiring authors from the United States, England, and elsewhere. It is really, really good stuff. Go look at the... We got like... We're coming up on like 100 five-star reviews and stuff. It's like people are loving it. I know you're going to love it. Guaranteed. So if you want to get away from the stuff like The Rings of Power and check out some stuff that's based and cool and awesome fiction, for the sake of awesome fiction without any shoehorned woke political agendas or any of that nonsense, go to thebizarrearchives.com and click on some of them images and go check out our books. We also have a Substack now you guys can check out. That is thebizarrearchives.substack.com. If you go sign up over there and get the premium for only $5 a month, you can get, there's all kinds of stuff over there. We got a podcast going. We got, we get stories over there that go unpublished, extra stories, extra content, all kinds of stuff over there. Great articles. But most importantly, it helps us grow the business and grow the Bizarre Archives machine, which we got some pretty cool stuff we're getting ready to announce. We got another book. We have a writing competition coming. And in the works is a video game. I can't show you nothing yet, but it's in there. So if you want to help the ball grow, you want to help the Bizarre Archives grow, go to all that kind of stuff. And we appreciate you guys. And like always, where's my horn at? We got to raise a horn to our most exalted patrons, Mr. Corey out there in the West. And then we got our very own Andre. Hail to those two. Because of their generosity, we're able to keep the lights on and stay on the air. Hail to all the other Bog Lords and Bog Maidens out there, and to all of our other supporters, and much love and many blessings to each and every one of you. I hope everybody's doing well, and farewell to you guys, and I'll see you guys next week here on the Bog. Hail.